As I said at the beginning of this service, this is the first Sunday in the new year. It's a good time for us to think about the year ahead. A good time for us to reflect. Now, when it comes to the new year, I understand there is a spectrum between those who love to make New Year's resolutions and those who resolve that they will make no New Year resolutions. Maybe some of us are kind of at those extremes or somewhere in the middle. It can be a time where we think about the year ahead, what we want to change, how we want to grow. I've been at the gym twice this past week, and I know a lot of you were probably there more often than you have been in the past. We make goals. We think about what's coming. We think about things that we want to change or we want to work on. Sometimes we can, like I say, we can resolve that we will make no resolutions, which is in itself a resolution. I wanted to come to this particular passage this morning because it's one of my favorite passages. Some of you I have shared this passage with, and I know for some of you it's become a special passage, and it's from Lamentations. We actually sang a song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, take some lyrics from this passage. And here's the verse. Look at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. It's a beautiful passage. As I was thinking about 2019, that's my prayer. That we would know that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning of the year ahead, regardless of how much weight we lose or don't lose, regardless of how our diet goes, or regardless of how our educational goals go, or our family, or whatever new journal or new diary system you're going to try out, regardless of how all that goes, and I do hope they go well, that we would know above all else that his mercies are new every morning. But as I looked at this text, I was reminded, and I had forgotten, the context that this text comes in. We don't typically see a lot of posters or embroidery with the rest of Lamentations 3 on it. And so God's grace comes to us in the midst of brokenness. So let's pray, and then we'll turn our attention to God's word. God, Heavenly Father, would you meet us this morning? Would you give us your very self? Lord, we want to grow. We want to do better. We want to be better. We want to be healthier. We want to be fitter. We want to be more organized. We want to achieve some goals this year. And we lay those things at your feet. And above all else, Lord, this morning we pray that you would give us your very self. That we would know you. That we would know your mercy and your grace and your faithfulness. That we would experience you this morning. That we just wouldn't hear words or contemplate insights or ruminate on some things that are interesting or fascinating or stimulating or inspiring, but that we would meet you this morning. That we would meet you in your word. That as we, towards the end of this service, sing, that we would sing to the God that we have met. That we would share about the God that we have met. That we would hear your benediction and know that you are living and active. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lamentations 3, great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a beautiful, beautiful couple of verses, and we're going to get to them this morning. But to get to them, we have to get to them in context. And the context of Lamentations 3 isn't as often quoted. So look with me at verse 16, Lamentations 3, verse 16. It's printed there in your worship guide. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Those are the verses that lead up to the wonderful verses that we have sung about this morning. And they're kind of dark. Oh, we don't typically embroider or have any Christian posters that celebrate this. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. Aren't many worship songs with those lyrics in them, are there? And then if we go down to verse 27 and see what comes after these beautiful verses. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. Again, not a lot of verses show up in their praise and worship songs. Not a lot of children's reading books have chapters on let your children, be filled with insults. But this is the context after. And it's made me think and reflect as I've come to this morning, just how often we crop our lives, right? Just how often we can crop Scripture. You know what cropping is, those of you who are familiar and active on the Instagram and the Facebook and the stuff? We get those pictures and we crop them. There are even, little applications that you can get where you can make your skin look better. You can take away your blemishes and brighten up your skin tone. We look to put on social media or before the world a cropped version of our lives. We want the best out there. I'm not saying there's something necessarily wrong with that. Honestly, it's good to put up beautiful pictures of good things and pretty things and tidy things and clean children. But it can also bleed over into our lives where we present a cropped version of ourselves to the world. We can come to Scripture and trust me, I know the temptation. It'd be nice just to crop out these verses to take, the cut and paste thing and go from 16 to 21 and then from 28 to the end and just say, yeah, let's put those aside and let's focus on the clean, beautiful, nice, cropped Scripture. But God's grace comes to us not cropped, but in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of failure, in the midst of imperfection, in the midst of brokenness. And so we can't really celebrate God's grace if we crop out the tough parts, right? And so that's what we're going to do this morning, relatively briefly, or more briefly than normal. We're going to look at two things: learning grace and living grace. Learning grace and living grace. So let's go back to verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. Here we see God's word talk about how we learn God's grace. We learn God's grace through failure, right? Through failure, through difficulty, and through struggle. That's how we learn God's grace. And look at this. Go back to verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now, that's not just talking about men or excluding women. It's talking about mankind in general. What does it say? It's good for us that we bear the yoke in our youth. What does that mean? Well, let's go on to verse 28. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. The yoke is the burden. If you're plowing the fields, the ox have the yoke, and that bears the weight of the plow and the tension as the soil is dug into and turned over. And God says it's good for us to bear a burden in our youth, to feel the weight, to sit alone in silence. Look at verse 29. Let him put his mouth in the dust. It's good for our face to be in the dirt. And that's not talking in some kind of, loving the earth and loving the soil. This is not talking about, get your hands dirty and kind of embrace the soil and plant plants and get in touch with the earth, which is all good. Okay, I'm not being sarcastic. It's good. This is not some kind of eco-friendly kind of hobby that God is talking about here. God's talking about failure. And he says, it's good for us to be face down eating dirt. Verse 30, let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. God here is saying that these things that we would normally say are bad are good, which is crazy, I know, and sounds unhealthy. But these things are good because of verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion. According to the abundance of his steadfast love, verse 33, for he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. We learn grace, and God wants us to learn grace in our youth. That in our youth, that when we are young, we would learn grace in the midst of failure. That we would have to sit in silence. That we would not be able to resolve our problems. That we would fail in such a way that we would know our need for grace. That we would learn grace. That we would learn when we are young what it means to fail and struggle and need God's grace. So in 2019, may we learn his grace. May we learn his grace. The Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers rivalry didn't start with the Bears and the Packers. It predates that. This morning, as I was thinking about this passage, a story came to mind about a famous Michigan football player going back to 1905 by the name of Denny Clark. Denny Clark played for Michigan when Michigan and Chicago were kind of college football powerhouses. And they had a big rivalry. The Packers didn't come into existence until about 10, 15 years after Denny Burke played his final season for Michigan. Denny Burke was infamous because the Michigan team he played on had a 56-game unbeaten streak going until that fateful day in 1905. 56-game winning streak is pretty impressive. And in the 1905 season, Michigan weren't just undefeated. They had tied a game, they had won every game, and they hadn't had a single point scored against them the whole season until this last game of the season. When Michigan were punting and the ball came loose and Denny Burke grabbed it and decided to not take a knee, but to run the ball. And then he got tackled. And then he got tackled again. And he ended up going down in the end zone, giving up a 2-point safety. And the game ended 0-2. And so did Michigan's winning streak of 56 games. Now, Danny Burke was one of their star players. He was their fourth leading scorer that year. Very versatile player and very, very accomplished player. And he was devastated. And the sports media back in 1905 in Michigan wasn't terribly kind to him. After the game, the reporting said that it was, where's the quote? It was a they referred to it as the wretched blunder. And said that he must have had a lapse of brain work. The media quoted Denny as being despondent himself. One newspaper said that he wanted to end his life. Oh, this is horrible. I feel like I should kill myself because I'm in disgrace. But the university rallied around the team. When they went back the next week, the team were greeted with great applause in the dining room. It's a massive gathering of fans and supporters from around the university as well as the students. And when Denny Burke's name was mentioned, everyone rose to their feet and gave this kid a 3-minute standing ovation, which the newspapers reported and said that this showed that Michigan stands by the Detroit lad and forgives his mistake. Denny Burke, and I mentioned this, was from quite a prominent family. His father was a minister that served in Detroit in the Methodist Church for many years. And his mother's grandfather served with President Lincoln. He was a 24th governor of Ohio, and he served President Lincoln as a U.S. Postmaster General. At the end of the semester, Denny went home, came back, finished off the next semester at Michigan, and then transferred to MIT. Graduated, went to work for the Bell Telephone Company, and eventually became an area manager in the Michigan area, the Chicago area, the Michigan area. Along came the war. He went off and served as a captain in the war. Got married, had 3 children, came back, and his moved to California with the Bell Telephone Company as it began to expand. But then he felt that he was always known as the man who lost the 1905 Michigan-Chicago game. It felt like that was his identity. In fact, the coach back for that game, 15 years later, wrote an article, and in that article he referenced having met Denny recently, and he said in his article that he repeatedly brought up the game. And the coach said, you try to tell him that, you know, Denny, you're the only one who's bothered by this. But he said that Clark, in their conversation, repeatedly recalled his error against Chicago. 27 years after that game, Denny Burke committed suicide in a hotel room in Oregon. And in his suicide note, he wrote that he hoped this final play, this act of killing himself, would atone for his error in the 1905 game. It's crazy, right? I mean, one thing it tells us is that people have been taking college football way too seriously for over 100 years. But here's someone who didn't learn grace and was defined instead by failure. The Word of God tells us it is good for us that we bear the yoke in our youth, that we have times, verse 28, where we sit alone in silence when it's laid on us. That we put our mouths in the dust, that there may yet be hope. We learn grace through failure. When we first come to Jesus Christ in saving faith, it's when we realize that we cannot save ourselves, that we cannot be good enough to earn God's forgiveness. And we come to Him in that failure, our personal moral failure to say, I need you to forgive me. And then we learn God's grace in the failures of life, right? In our disappointments, when we're having to eat dirt. Like Danny Clark, some of us have failures that still haunt us. They still drive us. Maybe not as consciously as him, maybe as consciously as him. I'll never forget talking to someone pastorally who shared a difficult thing that happened in their life when they didn't get a promotion they thought they were due. And they told me, they said, Pastor, I woke up angry every morning for the next 10 years. We know things like this. And these are places where we can learn failure. And in failure, we can learn God's grace. That's why God's word says to us this crazy stuff. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, I'm not suicidal this morning. You know, this just seems a little kind of too far-fetched. You need to bring it a little bit closer. Well, God's word does. It brings it closer and tells us, speaks to our young people. Says to our young people, hey, when you were young, learn to fail. When you are young, learn that life is difficult and failures happen. Now, we don't often, you know, kind of put that in our children's birthday cards or Instagram that. You know, it's kind of like, it sounds like very unhealthy educational philosophy. And it is if it's not for God's grace. We need to avoid failure. We need to run from failure. We need to fight against failure if it's not for God's grace. Because it's in those moments we learn that there is hope in the Lord. That there is hope in the Lord. So 2019, what does this say to us for 2019? 2019, in all of the goodness that we hope it brings, and all of the goals that we want to accomplish, and all of the love that we want to give and receive, and all the good works that we want to do, 2019 will also bring failure. Some of us will have moments of big failure and real struggle. Some of us will have moments where we are face down in the dirt. And those are opportunities for us to learn God's grace. To learn God's grace. Look with me at verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. So whether it's past failure or whether it's failure that is coming, may we meet those things with these verses in our mind. May there be times where we turn to the Lord and cling to him and say, the Lord will not cast off forever. That his steadfast love will come. He will have compassion. In the moments where we do not feel compassion, in the moments where we feel cast off, because we've had them and they're coming back, may we know his grace. May we know his grace. May we learn his grace. And as we learn his grace, may we live his grace. Look with me at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. May his grace be new for us every morning in 2019. This passage here speaks a lot about failure and struggle and difficulty and hardship. And it's in those places that we learn God's grace. But it also speaks to us here about living his grace. Every day, every morning, living his grace and his mercy. Go back to verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord, that's the Hebrew word chesed. It's the word that in the New Testament we refer to as God's grace. It's the love of the covenant. It's the turning point of a multitude of psalms. It's the word that echoes the hope of those who are desperate that the love of God's covenant will come to us. His promise to treat us not as our sins deserve, but to treat us in ways that we don't deserve. To love us, to delight in us, to provide for us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. God's mercy and His grace are synonyms, they're similar, but there's a little nuance of difference. God's mercy is His compassion for the miserable. God's mercy is His not treating us as our sins do deserve. God's grace is God treating us in ways that we haven't earned with His favor. But His mercy is His treating us, not treating us in the way that we deserve. It's His compassion for the miserable, for the broken, for the lonely. And this passage tells us that His mercy and His grace, verse 23, they're new every morning. It's a daily thing. God's mercy and His grace are not just for the big moments of failure, for the big seasons or the devastating, life-changing instances we have of failure. God's grace is for us every single day. Some of you know what this number represents. 525,600. Okay? Who knows what that represents? 525,600. Minutes in a year. It's a number made famous by the musical Rent, which was 20 years old last year. Can you believe Rent was 20 years old last year? And it's a movie that wants to celebrate love and has this powerful number to tell us that's how many minutes there are in a year. 525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments so dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? And the song goes on to say that we want to measure it in love. There were 365 days in 2018. And God's word says that each one of those, on each one of those mornings, His mercy and His grace was new. That it was new for you. That it was new for me. And 2019, it's not a leap year, so we're going to have another 365 days. And God's word tells us that each one of those mornings, regardless of what happened the day before, before you have fulfilled any promises, before you have done anything, that on each one of those days, His mercy is going to be new for you. And His grace is going to be new for you. Isn't that beautiful? That's living grace. Not just the moments of failure, but the day after day after day that we walk into 2019 with Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ with the promise that His mercy and His grace every single morning. What does that look like for us practically? Sometimes or often when people ask me how I'm doing, and I did this morning, I said, I'm better than I deserve. I got that from my mother-in-law, who swears that Dave Ramsey stole it from her. How you doing, Ewan? I'm better than I deserve. Sometimes if I'm having a particularly bad day, I'll add, but not by much. But there's sometimes when I say, you know, this phrase, I'm better than I deserve, where people will respond, oh no, that's not true. You know, don't be so hard on yourself. And sometimes I'll just laugh or smile and say, no, you have no idea how good this news is. I am doing
way better than I deserve. And that's good news. As we go into 2019, God's grace and mercy means that you can, in Jesus, every day, be better than you deserve and know more than you have earned. And brothers and sisters, that is good news, right? That is good news. Every single day, God's mercy and His grace is new. Now, I'm not talking about kind of just kicking back and coasting through the year. Oh, we're hardworking people. We make goals. God calls us to enter into this world and be passionately working to make things better, to change things, to fix things that are broken, to address new opportunities. God calls us not just to kind of sit back and say, I'm good, I'm fine, you know, and watch Netflix for the rest of the year saying, well, God's mercies and grace are new every morning. God calls us to work on our stuff. There's stuff about us that we want to change. We want to be better people, and that's good. And it's God's mercy and grace that drives that, that gives us hope. The hope that we have to be better people is because of His mercy and His grace. The energy, the resolve that we'll have to get up again. To get up again and go back to the gym when we've skipped 2 days. We come back to God and say, hey, I need your mercy and grace to honor the temple of the Holy Spirit that you've given me. You know, when you go back to sugar and you get that bag of M&Ms, or you have that dessert that you swore you weren't going to have, or your, what's the day, the break day, where you have that special day where you kind of like, you know, the bad day, the cheat day, when the cheat day becomes a couple of days in a row, or when it's been a couple of days and we haven't opened God's Word, even though we resolved it in 2019, we're going to be better at studying God's Word and praying. It's His mercy and His grace that's new every morning. Or we can wake up and say, hey, doesn't matter about yesterday. Today is new. His mercy and His grace is new. For us. And for other people too. There will be people that we will need to show God's mercy and grace to on a daily basis in 2019. We'll need to be merciful to them. And we can't be merciful to them unless we've known God's mercy for us. We can't be gracious to them unless it's God's grace flowing through us. So in 2019, may we live by grace. May we live by grace day after day after day. This is the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They're new. How often? How often are His mercies new? Once a month? Once a year? Once after we've had a good spell? No. Every single morning. Let's pray. God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for Your steadfast love that never ceases. Lord, may You fill it with us. May You chase us down and pour it into us. May You melt our hearts with it, and may You warm our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.